Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Rotatoes, I've got that Friday feeling, which means one thing and one thing only. It is time for a brand new episode, and nay, a brand new arc of the Rotating Heroes podcast. We have three brand new rotators to introduce to the rotation. I've said the word rotate in different forms too many times in one sentence. That's right, we have Erin Keefe, Ife Nwadiwe, and Lily Du. An absolute all-star cast, playing some of the most unhinged little creeps I've ever met in my entire life. I love them dearly, and I can't wait for you to meet them all. We've got some little bad guys for this arc, and I'm very excited to share. If you're enjoying this and you want to hear some more, then don't forget that we are currently in the middle of Campaign 2 over on the Patreon right now, which you won't get on this feed for a little while. So if you want to come over and check out Campaign 2 and all of the rest of Campaign 1, then you can head over to the Patreon right now. That's patreon.com/rotatingheroespod, or just the link in the description below. But thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And so with that, I'll stop rambling and I'll say, hey, take it away, past me. Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody. My name is Jasper William Cartwright, and I am very excited to say that we are here with the 12th arc of Rotating Heroes. This is a wild number. I cannot believe we're at number 12 already. And I have a crew of very special rotators today. I am genuinely thrilled. This was an absolute like A-tier list of people that I wanted to bring on, and all of them said yes. And I'm very excited that they did. So I'm going to go around in order that they appear on my screen. And we'll go with Erin. Hi, how are you doing? Welcome to Rotating Heroes.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Yay!
An honor to be here.
Truly so much fun. We got to meet on Joker Cruise recently and play together where you played a twig, like a little Groot.
Yes, and I died. I died in the last campaign I did with you, so.
Yes, true.
Feeling a little nervous.
Ooh, could happen again. Could happen again. We'll see. Who knows? Couldn't possibly know. And also joining, we have Lily Du. Hi, Lily.
Hello.
I'm so excited to play D&D with you. This is going to be absolutely amazing.
You haven't killed me yet, so here we are.
I haven't, so I'm going to try my hardest. I truly, truly am. And a person that I could never hope to kill. Maybe you'll have to like go to an art bar or whatever, and I'll tell you the story about the time that this person bear hugged me from behind and I actually made peace with death because I thought it was over. It's Ife Nwadiwe! What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going? Look, we're just having fun.
We are just having fun.
We're hugging each other down.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a nice good squeeze.
Yeah.
Squeezing the homies.
He has a weak spot. It's his taint. If you push it, he shuts down.
Yeah, yeah. But you really have to, it's a real firm press though. I like tapped it too lightly and then it didn't work.
You need to get a ballpoint pen to get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a tiny little hole right in the taint. Okay.
That's, also returns him to factory settings. So yeah. That's
exactly. That's what's going to say. Those old refactory settings.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, I was at a bar and I literally just felt two gigantic arms wrap around me and I was like, huh, what's happening? Then they lift me off the ground. And I remember feeling like so truly helpless. I was like, I can feel the amount of pressure and there's no way I get out of this. So I just kind of went limp and just accepted death because I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to escape. So I'll just make peace with this situation.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Well, thanks for joining me, guys. This is very exciting. Arc 12, which is honestly kind of crazy. This is now my fifth arc that I've done for the show, which is kind of nuts, and I'm so excited to have all of you. If we're feeling kind of ready, should we get into this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's boogie.
So, in the last arc, you may remember that our heroes got a glimpse of a plane of fire and brimstone filled with creatures of all different shapes and sizes. And within that particular plane that they saw, there was a giant colosseum that looked like it had been made out of a crater carved into the very earth itself. And we saw, in that vision, a gigantic demon, impossibly ripped. 12-pack, maybe. I don't know. Kind of hard to count just how many abs he had. We saw him battling with three beings of immense light and power. And it is with these beings that we are going to begin Arc 12. Deacon, you have been wheeled out into the middle of this Colosseum. You are bloodied and bruised. You have barely any hit points left. As you've, this hood is ripped off of your face, you see this giant demon in front of you. Two brilliant horns, resplendent muscles, gigantic wings, with this huge kind of meat cleaver of a sword in one hand, rushing towards you. What do you do?
Stare it down and say, "Get back thee. The warriors of light shall always reign over darkness. You'll never stand before one who stands for goodness, who stands for grace, who stands for shoving my blade in your face."
"I don't even think you could reach my face, son." It's at this point that someone else pipes up, with the hood having been ripped off of their head. It is Adavold Braveheart. Adavold, what are you going to do?
I pull out my sword. It's like a beam of golden light, and I insert it into the ground, and I kneel before it like it's a cross, and I say, "My Lord is the Holy Lord, and he will protect me in the face of evil."
"I don't see your Lord here. You better pray a little bit louder." And finally, we have Starshield the Cunning. What would you do in this moment?
Starshield takes out his two sickles and makes them make like a sheen sound and goes, "You can't talk to my two best friends like that."
"I can't? I think I just did." As he catches the sword that was aimed for his face, that Deacon the Bold put everything you have into it, as this hand catches onto the blade and breaks it in half, pulls the rest of the blade, you along with it, into this demon's face, and you can feel the heat kind of burning, singeing your face as he pulls you in real close and says, "I've eaten bigger meals than you, son." And you see as he grabs you by the collar, Deacon, and he buries his mouth into your neck and just starts to rip as you see tendons and like all this kind of blood and guts pull out as Deacon... What are your final words?
"Ouch!"
"That's it? I really thought that he'd have more. You know, he came in strong with a whole monologue and then just ouch! I kind of feel upset. I feel like I've done bad now. Shit, I'm sorry."
I see this. I start praying so fast. I start praying.
You're trying to get through the whole sermon.
Yeah,
like, you've got like a prayer in front of you. You're trying to like, "Oh shit, I need to get through this."
"If I just make it to the end of the prayer, this is going to be holy, my Lord."
He just grabs the back of your head and goes, "I said pray faster," and just throws your head down on top of your own sword. The hilt of the blade comes shooting up through the back of your head, Adavold. You have a brief moment to utter some final words, if you will.
"I still have so much praying left to do."
You see the demon just slides the piece of paper which had the words of prayer on them sort of underneath your face as it's sort of dripping blood down onto it. Goes, "Here, now you'll be able to read it wherever you're going."
I start buttering.
And then I'm assuming at this point some sickles come flying out of nowhere.
Yeah.
What's Starshield doing as your two friends have been felled so swiftly?
Sickle looks like he's about to try to behead the demon, and then he goes, "Hey, Oh my God, I just remembered I am actually late for something. Oh. And I should probably head out.
What are you late for? What's up? Where are you going?
It's a thing. It's like a dinner. It's like for my friend. They're moving.
I'd hate for you to miss dinner.
Yeah, so nice meeting you.
He amplifies the sound of his voice to the crowd and goes, "Should I stop them from missing dinner or should I let them go?"
And you hear a chant of dinner.
Goes around. Just roll me a persuasion check. Let's see if Starshield the Cunning, just a flat roll. We'll see. We'll see what you get.
Okay. Absolutely devastating way to begin this. I botched.
Like a one?
I got a one. Yep.
A one. Okay. Great. 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 He goes, "Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. If you got dinner plans, nothing I can say. Nothing I can do. You gotta make your appointment. And I'm sorry for have kept you this long. I hope your dinner plans didn't involve these two. Anyway." Have a nice time.
Thank you.
Have a nice time. The second you turn your back, you feel an intense heat in your neck as a blade suddenly swings through it and your head rolls down to the feet of your two fallen comrades. Your head, with a tiny bit of light and life left in it, looks up at the body of your two friends and it says,
"No.
No? This was not an articulate bunch." Anyway, I think we should have dinner plans. Dinner. And as the sound of thousands of sort of demonic and damned beings shouting dinner sort of slowly fades away into the background, we change from day to night. There is a sort of blue wash now that is occasionally lit up by a pillar of smoke and fire. As we see our three actual heroes of this particular arc currently cleaning up the guts and mess, and it is really quite hard to get these bloodstains out of the cobblestones. Why don't we go ahead and we'll go in reverse order this time. So why don't we start with you, Erin? Would you like to introduce your character for us?
Yes, I would love to. I am Vanna Victar. She is currently in kimono dragon form, kind of like a sad, mutated kimono dragon with a full face of makeup, kind of like 1940s, like red lip, beauty mark, and a blonde, like curly bob sort of placed on top.
Yeah, we see this slightly sad looking kimono dragon eating any of the remains or just sort of loading up the wagon that's nearby with remains.
Like gagging at the smell. Mm. She's never really gotten used to the smell. And she's sort of like squinting when she's putting like guts into the wagon. She also doesn't carry enough at a time. She's just doing like little bits. It's not very helpful. She's moving slow.
Like grabbing a little bit of Deacon's sort of neck sinew.
Exactly.
Just sort of putting that in there rather than the whole head. Lovely. And then I think next to this sad looking Komodo dragon, we find your character, Lily.
Yes, this is Morgana Chambers, although everyone calls her Morg. You know, from far away, you might think, who is she? She's beautiful. And then as you get close, you go, oh, all these features are quite off. And, you know, the arms are quite strong, but the legs are quite small. And she keeps kind of pursing her lips in an attempted seductive look, but then she's squinting one eye way more than the other, and it's really kind of turning you off.
I'm imagining that she just spikes the sort of fourth wall camera that our audience is currently looking through and just sort of does a really like off-putting wink to everyone listening.
Yeah, she does a wink that's actually just closing both eyes. She's trying to wink, but she just gives one big blink.
Absolutely great.
And she is stroking the hair of Deacon. And she goes, "What a pity, I could have seduced him."
And I think overhearing this, we see our third and final rotator of this arc. Iffy, if you'd like to introduce your character, please.
Oh, yes. You know, walking in a large robe, you know, many necklaces and baubles kind of strapped to his sides and waist, holding many books, you witness Zazili Dagrin, as he walks through the halls of hell, he kind of has the waterfall cul-de-sac hairline where it's, you know, kind of draped over his shoulders. And he's just kind of sneering at everyone as he moves, as he feels kind of out of place, as he feels like he doesn't necessarily belong here, as he was forced here.
One of the things that you'd notice about Zazili Dagrin is that Zazili, unlike everything else that's here, doesn't look to be dead or undead in any way, shape, or form. Definitely still looks to be a fully alive human being down in this place.
Yes.
And how is Zazili enjoying this cleanup duty that he's currently on? Is he sort of embracing this work, or is it very much against his will?
Yeah, he's very much kind of deep in focus, knowing that the only way through it is to work through it. So he's just kind of going along, you know, kind of tidying up things that might have kind of fallen off, putting them back on shelves, while still holding his books for some reason. He will not put down his books to be good at cleaning. He wants to make sure he has it with him.
These are in both arms?
Yeah.
He has books under both arms.
So just to clarify, Vanna is the only one doing the work, and it is a tiny amount of work.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just like, when you like pick a hair off of yourself and it's just like a little tiny, like, ugh, at a time.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
So yeah, you're currently in the dead of night having to get this all cleaned up because there'll be another big fight tomorrow. There is one every single day of the week and weekends. And you're there cleaning up for a little while when you suddenly kind of, you hear it first, this sort of incoming of a heated conversation as you hear unmistakably the sound of Maris. Now, you guys should have all had this cleaned up a little while ago, and he's probably going to be a little pissed at you that it's not yet done. So what do you all do as you hear this kind of heated conversation kind of coming down one of the hallways? Are you going to sort of, obfuscate yourself, or are you sort of trying to sort of, are you going to hold up your hands and apologize sort of thing?
I take the body that I was just kind of looking at and stroking the hair of, and I pick it up in one fell swoop and I just toss it across the room onto the back of the wagon. I go, all right. 1 of 3, done.
Absolutely incredible. This body just goes flying through the air. What are the other two? What are the other two doing?
Vanna, in a panic, instead of just like moving the body quicker, she starts like back kicking dirt like a dog would to try to like
cover
the bodies quickly.
You're absolutely kicking dirt onto Zazili, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Zazili is unmoved, kind of looking down at the dirt being swept onto him. Looks up, unbothered, just over it all.
And so, yeah, as you're doing this, you see above you, Maris, the archdemon of hell, of this particular layer of hell. It comes sort of flying in along with Grenbocker. Grenbocker is Maris's sort of right-hand man. So Maris is this sort of giant, like 12-foot-tall demon, big wings. Grenbocker is this kind of weaselly kind of looking kind of sort of like animal creature, but has a very like slack jaw, very sunken and tiny eyes. Like looks a bit like a Master Splinter, and Maris is currently kind of carrying him as he comes flying over and puts him down in the middle of this Colosseum, kind of casts an eye back towards you, but doesn't seem to have taken any notice of you guys as this conversation is happening.
I give him a little wink. He doesn't notice it.
It actually makes him actively notice you less.
Yes.
It was more like a blink, if we're being honest.
Yes, it's a blink. My wink is a blink.
So, yeah, you overhear this conversation as you hear Grenbocker go,
well, are you sure that perhaps it has to be me and not someone else?
I don't trust anyone else. This is my daughter I'm talking about, okay? Now listen, she's gone off. Normally it's fine, but she hasn't contacted me in a while, and she's got a very strict rule. About every Thursday, we at least have a call. We'd have a little chat, have a little catch-up, and she's missed it now 2 Thursdays in a row. So I need you to go up there, go find her, go find out what's happening, okay? And, you know, bring her back to me if you want. And if you do it right, there might be a reward for you. You know, maybe I could make you an archdemon, a duke. Maybe I could even bring your old body back. How does that sound?
Well, yes, I would enjoy having my old body back. This one is getting a little bit worn out. And Duke sounds delightful. Well, okay, I guess I could. Well, thank you. Thank you, great Maris. I appreciate it.
And you see he's kind of scuttles off down one of the many different passages of this Colosseum. At which point you hear,
you know, you really should have finished that up by now. I can see you. Why are you kicking dirt onto it?
They're all standing still, hoping that he's...
Yeah, I freeze. Like, he won't see us if we're not moving.
Yeah, I scoot up and I'm like, well, hold on. good sir, I couldn't help in my focus. Because, you know, I like to plan before I go about with my plans.
Oh, that's what you're doing. You're just planning... Doing the work.
Yes, I was planning and I was going to direct them on the appropriate things. But it seems like you might need assistance. And, you know, Grinbacher is old, shambly. But wouldn't you want that of a young whippersnapper like me? And Zazuli kind of straightens up, but when he does, you can hear his, like, spine pop.
Something cracks in there, like, deep, deep within.
I catch on, and I also saunter over, and I try to kind of sleekly, smoothly, but it's, like, really, it looks like I'm doing a weird little crip walk dance. As I come over,
you look like one of these inflatables outside of a garage, like just kind of like a bit, just like I like too loose.
And I'm like, ooh, I also couldn't help but hear that maybe you need some people with skills and the power of seduction to assist you.
You heard me talk about my missing daughter and thought that I need the power of seduction?
To seduce away her captors. I blink at him.
Okay, sure.
Vanna tries to lean against the wagon supernaturally, but it looks really ridiculous. She's trying to, like, be casual. I think what my friend is trying to say is, like, the three of us were just talking about how much we'd, like, love to go on a rescue mission, and I heard you say something about getting, like, our old bodies back, and I was like, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I think this could be mutually beneficial for all of us, right, guys? We were just talking about that?
Yes, I remember, you know, we were just talking about that. I remember it being, like, mainly my idea, and then y'all kind of jumped on into the conversation. But yes, you are correct. I think that we all can give you what you need and get our old bodies, maybe return us to the living plane to enact vengeance upon our enemies. You know what? Yes.
Vanna blinks because she just forgets what winking looks like after watching Morg blink for so long.
Maybe that's just what Vanna thinks that blinking is down there. like what winking is. It's just we blink, you know. Okay, we're going to go ahead and do we'll do like a group persuasion. So I'll get you all to roll persuasion and we're looking for, we'll see how that shakes out.
Ooh, that's a dirty 20 for me.
Ooh, 15.
15, okay.
That's a two.
Two. Okay, perfect. Well, that's two successes and then a failure. So you see kind of looking, he's like really looking down at you as well. He is several feet taller than all of you and sort of looks down at you and goes,
I could probably, well, so here's the thing. I don't know that I fully trust Grimbacher.
Yeah.
He's been... acting all kinds of...
Mm-mm, can't trust him.
Yeah.
he's kind of ratty at the best of times. And I mean that as not as a derogatory thing. Like, he's just, you know, a little sneaky, a little too sneaky.
He's Weasley, you can say it.
All right. Yeah, I was trying not to. My cousin's a Weasel and he'd get real pissed at me if I said it. But hey, look, he's a little Weasley, okay? So, how's about this? How about you, you know, tail him? Just stick close to him. I told him he's got to go and meet, my daughter's got a friend, Barnaby. So, as far as I know, Barnaby was the last one to speak to her. So, I said, tomorrow, go meet Barnaby in the market, and then go from there. So, maybe, let's say tomorrow, about midday, you head to town, find Barnaby, and keep back, obviously. Don't let Grimbacher know you follow him. Just see what happens. You know, follow him, see where he goes, see who he talks to. I'm just interested, because I feel like if there's a chance that he's involved in the disappearance of my daughter, could mean something. I'd go with myself, but there's a chance that they may have to follow him to the material plane, and it's a little risky for me to be going up there at the moment. Tensions are a little high, so...
Yeah, you're busy. You've got stuff going on.
Okay, I just want to clarify that it's not because I'm busy that I'm not going to try and save my daughter, okay? Just want to make that very clear. That's what, you know...
Of course.
No, you don't want her to think you're tailing her, you know, overprotective.
Exactly. Yeah. She might just be having a good time and, you know... And then the last thing she needs is dad, you know, big old demon dad showing up and you know, cramping on her style. So I just, you know, like, listen, she's fine. She's strong-willed. She's very strong and much stronger than Grimbacher. So even if he did try anything, I'm not exactly worried about it. You know what I mean? Even if he was trying to... But I just, you know, maybe this is opportune, you know? And by the way, maybe I'll give you your old bodies back. Maybe I'll let you go back to the material plane to enact revenge upon your enemies. There ain't no way I'm making you Dukes of Hell, just to be clear.
Oh.
I don't just, you know, I'm just taking that. That's one's off the table. There's no, I can't promise.
Huh.
You know, you guys are cleaning crew. You know what I mean? It would be a little much to be making you straight to, you know, Duke. That would be tough. You know what I mean?
Well, I was born of the underworld, so I don't know what being my old body. I want a new body. I want a revenge body.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll give you a new body. That's fine. And if your mother and father think that you are ready for a higher station, then I will listen and take their judgment. How does that sound?
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
I know you guys are have tea sometimes.
We do. Haven't seen your father in a couple weeks, though. Is he okay? I know your mother's got a history, you know, being a succubi and everything. I didn't know if he was... I'm sorry, you know, because... I'm just saying I haven't seen him for a while, and it, you know, if he has passed on down to a, you know, the next layer down or whatever, then my condolences.
It's okay. I have a lot of stepfathers.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, gotta say, this is, you know, maybe this is a good turning point for you guys. You know, maybe this is how you step up. Show me what you got. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe you're willing to be surprised if we save the day in a major way. We can...
You know, the thing is, I gotta be honest, I really doubt it. I do. But I'm willing to be proved wrong. I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're open to the idea?
I'm open to the possibility you guys are better than cleaning crew. Put it that way.
Yes.
But not Dukes. I want to be great. I'm not making any binding contracts to make you three goons Dukes. That would be bad.
Well, why would it be bad? You know, maybe there needs to be a change of pace around here.
What would you do? What would you do, lowly cleanup crew? Don't know your name, don't care. What would you do if you were a Duke?
If I were a Duke...
What's it like something that you would put in place in this principality of
you know, I would, you know, first things first, of course, on the agenda of things mm-hmm, to do mm-hmm, when we mm-hmm. get around to doing things as the Duke, when we get
I'm listening.
To it,
I'm
would
listening.
Be the first task at hand, which would, of course, be something that makes sense. Like, yes, I would...
Everyone suck my toes.
Okay, that would
you'd make everyone suck your toes.
That probably wouldn't be that probably wouldn't be mine. I wouldn't go for a toe suck.
That's an interesting potential form of torture for some of the damned. Okay. Okay, everyone sucking on your toes. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, then yes, I too would have people suck my toes. Yes, yes, I didn't know that was a good answer. Yes, I suck mine toe vigorously until I say stop.
Why are you making it weird? Why are you looking deep into my eyes? I'm not saying I'm going to suck toes. I'm saying the damned are going to suck toes.
Look, I was giving an example. If you were the one who was getting the assignment.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You make it... Okay, the eye contact is so keen, you know? I feel like you're burrowing into my soul. I need you to stop. Because I don't even have a soul.
Yes, of course. Okay.
Or toes.
You have a real old toe thing, I'm realizing, huh? I feel like you maybe stumbled on gold as opposed to actually...
You have no idea.
Right, right, okay. Well, I'm going to leave just because I'm wearing sandals right now, feeling extremely toe exposed. So...
Okay.
I'm going to just take my leave. But hey, listen, tomorrow, market, I got you. And listen... You know, if you let on to Grimbuck or about any of these details, of course, I will make whatever happens to you make this ring of hell look like a picnic in the park. You know, I will make sure that you are sent down somewhere dark and bad, and torture will be the last of your worries. Okay? Is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you.
Did not think about that when we agreed to this.
And you will have your toes chopped off. You will never see a toe again.
Oh.
That's what had happened to you, I think, would be bad. I don't, I'm trying to work that out, you know. But okay, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go.
Okay.
Thanks. I'm going to call you just cleanup crew four. When you find something, come up to my palace, get the guards to say, hey, it's cleanup crew four. And then I'll let you in and you can give me the down low on old Grimbuck, okay?
Yes, of course.
Yes, my lord. I try to bow and kiss.
No, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to get up. Ah, get away from my toes. Roll me a dexterity check, and we'll see if you manage to get a lip around a toe.
It would be a really good time for a natural 20.
I got 16 plus 5. I get 21.
21? Yeah, you just launch like a full barrage of kisses towards his toes. And just manage to get a full-on big toe in your mouth. What the hell? Ah! Get, no! Why is there so much saliva? My God. Oh, man. My wives are going to be pissed about this. Right. Bye, everyone. God damn it. And he takes off into the sky, flies away, and leaves you in the still and cold night here in this Colosseum.
I think I really sealed the deal for us.
You did so good.
Thank you.
So what would you three like to do? You can either, you can always like, obviously, like head home. You've got until basically tomorrow at like midday until you need to go and meet someone whom you know, actually. If there's any like preparations, everything you want to get, like this could obviously end up being like a longer journey if you end up having to like tail Grimbuck up towards like the material plane in order to find Maris's daughter, then perhaps you know, want to get anything ready, talk to anyone, gather any supplies, etc., before you go on what could end up being a long journey.
Barnaby is a good friend of mine, actually. We know each other pretty well. So tomorrow should go very well. Is there anything we feel like we need to do before we embark on our adventure?
Well, Vanna has an entire trunk full of wigs that she'd like to bring.
Sure.
She doesn't pack light at all, so she has like a whole wagon filled with suitcases.
So you're going to go and get the wagon?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go get the wagon. Is there like a horse or a horse equivalent that we could bring?
I mean, like definitely, yeah. I think the one thing that you don't know yet is like how you're going to make it to the material plane. If you're going to like make it through whatever portal Grimbuck uses or like a different means. But I mean, having a horse, you know, wouldn't be a bad thing. You actually find that there's rather large hellhounds, which they use to like pull most of the carts and everything down here. But I think that especially with Morg's financial capabilities, shall we say, you could almost certainly get yourself a, you know, loan yourself a hellhound.
Nice.
To drag your extensive wig collection. Is there anything else anyone else would like to do? Anyone you want to go and see, go talk to, or are you just like looking for tomorrow?
Vanna, do we need to go to Zephora?
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. She immediately agrees.
You can absolutely go shopping if you'd like to.
Yeah, we have like an early 2000s shopping montage that would be in like a teen movie.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Where we're trying on different outfits, nodding yes and no to each other's outfits.
So we kind of smash cut. It's tomorrow morning. You guys have got up bright and early. You've made sure to go and wait because it's early up, I'm assuming. To drag him on this particular adventure. Zizili, how do you feel about going on this little shopping trip? Is this something that Zizili is into, or is this a...
Oh, no, definitely not into, but understand that people need certain things to adventure. So I will attend, but I won't be purchasing anything. I have everything I need.
I've never been to the Mortal Realm, so what do you think they like up there? What do you think? Rouge?
You see that this sort of tiny little goblin lady with these like pince-nez glasses on the end of her nose leans forward. You're now finding yourself inside this kind of like very decadent shop. This is a place that your mother frequents all the time, so she knows who you are, this old lady. She leans forward and goes,
"Ah, yes, the material plane is an interesting one. They have peculiar ways of dressing, lots of functionality, and almost nothing that causes discomfort or pain. Very strange. You know, most of them, no chokers, no ball gags, no nothing. It's not even a collar. Could you believe it? Could you imagine going outside without even a collar?"
Vanna leans in and goes, "I have not been there in 20 years. Have the styles and fashions changed? I don't want to look out of date."
"What do you remember of the styles and fashions? And I will make sure to correct any mistakes that you might be about to make."
"Well, everyone used to look like me. Do they still look like me?"
Would you like to describe how you look out of Komodo Dragon form?
She looks awful. it's the same face of makeup, but she looks very lizardy and like an amphibian out of form. So it's she almost looks a little bit more conventionally attractive when she's a Komodo Dragon.
A Komodo Dragon with makeup and a wig on?
Yeah.
Sure. Great. Absolutely love that.
Like you. No. They like much brighter colors, I would say. As bright as possible, actually.
And she holds up like a tie-dye t-shirt and is like,
"Yes, something like this, I think, actually."
"I'll take 5.
"You'll take 5 of these."
You see her eyes kind of widen.
She goes, "Oh, yes, marvelous. Please, take them."
Turns to you, Zizili, like,
"I'm assuming you would also like one. You are dressed rather dully. You wouldn't want to stand out now, would you?"
No, I just want to just stand here and watch everyone do their thing. I don't need to even worry about me.
Zazili, matching shirts.
Matching shirts.
We're all in tie-dye matching shirts for our journey.
It's a vibe.
Yeah, the robes are, you know, kind of my thing. I couldn't possibly wear a shirt.
Do you have a tie-dye robe?
Yeah, immediately pulls out a tie-dye robe. Immediately falls out tied up rogue, and she looks at you and goes,
"If you're going to go matching, does your trio have a name, perhaps? I can inscribe perhaps a little on the back so that you could be easily identifiable as the impressive squad that you are."
I think we are trying to go a little more incognito. I don't know if that's...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone does this on the material plane. Everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're a part of a faction, you have to wear your colors with pride. It would be strange. People would look at you like a lost puppy.
Oh, is that true?
It is.
That's what everyone does?
That's what everybody does, yes. Everybody.
Oh, interesting. Around which places? Because, you know, I was on the material plane until I was banished.
See, she gulps pretty hard.
That was centuries ago.
Yeah, Zazili, you don't know anything anymore. We're going to be in tie-dye matching outfits. We're going to have a fun little name, and it's going to be all three of us, and we're going up together. And she grabs the two of them and starts, like, eeing and jumping up and down.
We did it. And also you said comfort is key, no clamps, no cages.
Yes, no, certainly nothing on the nipple, nothing.
I take off 2 huge nipple clamps, and then I start taking off little clamps that I have just kind of all over my body.
Even ropes, apparently, are too coarse for the skin up there. It's almost barbaric, you know. Yes, I couldn't imagine it. But yes, like your colleagues have alluded to, in fact, it was rather a long time ago for you since you've been up there, you know. So actually, the times have moved on a little, okay? And it's bright colors and team names, okay? That's the in thing now.
So, yes. Well, if you want, how about this? Look, and you see that she takes out like a magical needle and thread and starts kind of weaving it over the back of these one tie-dye robe and two tie-dye t-shirts.
Here, all you have to do is just say the name into the shirt and it will magically transcribe it for you. So that way, if you should change your mind, you can do.
Mm. Okay. All right. What is our name, then? Our group name?
I kind of just wanted the word sexy over the ass part of the t-shirt.
Of course. As soon as you say that, the word sexy appears.
Oh, no.
Over the ass part of this sort of... It's a long baggy t-shirt for you, so yeah, it covers
sexy
up the ass part.
Sexy over the ass part of the t-shirt. Got it. All right.
Jesper, how many other campaigns had everyone in this exact outfit? Like tie-dye with sexy over the ass part?
Do you know what, Jenny? I think there's at least one. At least one has got to be.
As long as we're not the first, then I feel really comfortable.
Hey, this is merch for later.
I can't wait for Zach to find out. He's going to be thrilled. He's going to be absolutely thrilled.
Yes, to make a merch store.
Well, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, everyone got sexy over the ass, not just me.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you said it. As soon as you said it.
Yes.
Everyone's got sexy over the ass part. Especially Zazilli, actually, because he's got a full robe on. There's a full robe. Whether Zilly chooses to put it on, obviously, is a big thing.
But. I'm actually dying to see a drawing of Zazilli now in that full robe.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been Arc 12 of the Rotating Heroes podcast with your rotators, Ifeanyi Wadiwe, Lily Du, and Erin Keefe. And I, Jasper William Cartwright, have been your GM. If you've enjoyed this and you want more Rotating Heroes in your life, you can check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, link in the description below. And you can get yourself ad-free episodes, Arc Barks, off-leash episodes. I realize there's no context for those. Arc Barks, we talk about the episodes. Off Leash is just things that aren't D&D. We do Q&As. We do all kinds of strange things. If you're familiar with NADPOD, we do things similar to like Dungeon Court and that kind of thing. But yeah, I hope that you are having a wonderful time. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you very, very soon. This episode was produced and GM'd by Jasper William Cartwright, and that's me, and was edited by Oliver Moore.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.